this is what happened. I was telling Brother Brian, see what happens? My church loves me so much. I say I love blueberries, and everything comes from blueberries. I'm kidding. You endure me, amen. I adore you, so amen. That's a good thing. Let's say a word of prayer. We'll get into the message this afternoon. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, I pray now that though our stomachs be full, Lord, I pray now you fill our spirit, Lord, you to help us to feed off the Word of God, Lord. And I pray that you'd help me as a preacher, Lord, help me to effectively communicate, Lord, the message you've given me. And I pray that you would use it in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You do not need to stand. I'm just going to read one verse, and we're going to get into it. Actually, I'm going to talk a little bit, then I'll read a verse. Last week, I usually don't eat this much on a fellowship Sunday, so now I'm like kind of half full and had an extra cup of coffee now that I don't have to try to take a nap on Sunday afternoon again. You know, that's it's a blessing being on first shift. Thanks for those who prayed for that. But last week we celebrated an important anniversary as a church. We didn't, and I intentionally kind of let it go. Last week on February 14th and February 15th, Sunday and Monday, there were important anniversaries that quietly passed. It was on those two consecutive days in the year 1828 that the two churches were constituted that would, on April 26th of 1856, that would combine to form the Bryan-Pond Baptist Church. And it was the church, the Woodstock and Greenwood Baptist Church and the Hamlin's Gore Baptist Church were established February 14th, February 15th. I don't remember which was which, but I know that their Elder Nathaniel Chase was the presiding pastor over each of those constitutions. But anyways, undoubtedly, through the years, these churches would face many different challenges, yet they persevered. And it is interesting that as we're in a day when potentially the government would even look to attempt to shut down churches that were opening against their mandate, that as we look back in our past, as far back as the 1800s, we have a church out on Hamlin's Gore that never had a meeting house until they combined and formed the Bryan-Pond Baptist Church. What they had was members' houses. They had members' barns, and they had up to 99 people that were members of that church, and they never had a place to assemble. They just went from place to place and assembled. And it could be someday that we end up in a similar situation and we need to assemble, that, yeah, we have a building, but we're not allowed to be there, and they're going to arrest us if we go there, so you may as well assemble somewhere else. Who knows? Anyways, through the years, these churches would face many different challenges, and yet they persevered. I don't know that we can say they prospered, but they certainly persevered through the tough times. And while our church, Bryan-Pond Baptist Church, has never been perfect, at times struggling doctrinally, there were, if you look back through the records, you see some times where things were a little bit different. We maybe got off the tracks just a little bit. Despite that, though, there's always been a core that has remained faithful to the Lord through all of this. Much like today, some have made the choice to hang back, but there is a core that is faithful. Psalm number 16, verse 6 says, "The lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." Amen. And we do indeed have a goodly heritage. But the truth is, along the way, through the years, there have been countless individuals who have fallen off the path, who have walked away from the straight and narrow way. What if so many had fell away that our church ceased to exist? Has this happened? It happens every week. There are churches that close their doors no longer to open again. Now, don't get me wrong, some of them that are crazy, should have their doors shut. I mean, but I mean, there's Bible-believing churches who simply, they get down to just a small handful of members, and then the choice, and I, you know, the church over in Peru was on the doorstep. I'm thankful for Brother Filer going there with a fresh vision and all God's allowed them to do and what's going on there. I'm thankful for that. There have been many churches. Other churches have they may still exist, but they're not Bible-believing churches anymore. I have this book one of my history books. It's the history of the Baptist churches of Oxford County. And there's many different churches. I think of all the churches in there, it's just us and West Sumner that basically are still following the same doctrine of all of those churches listed. I mean, Mexico, Rumford, which now Rumford has been given to the church in Peru, so that's different. But the church in, there's all, in South Paris, Paris Hill, all those churches that were once bastions of solid doctrine have fallen along the wayside. But I think we can all think, if we think back and look at who's around us, we can think of people who were here, faithfully here, and now aren't here. What if so many people left the Bryant Pond Baptist Church somewhere in the distant past ceased to exist? What about all the souls that have been saved here? And I agree, Pastor, it's been a while. Yeah, it's been a while. We need to pray. We need to get out there and sow the seed. But what if this church didn't exist to preach the gospel to people? What if this church didn't exist over the years where people would be, Christians would have their hearts stirred up and would be stirred into some service somewhere or the other? What if there had been many people like demons who walked away? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, let's turn there. We're going to think about Demas a little bit here. We know the verse. Yeah, I find it very, very telling that Paul, in his very last written communication before the executioner would take his life, Paul would pen and mention in the very last part of the last letter he ever wrote, he would mention this man named Demas, along with other names. But look at verse number 10 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica. Prescience to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. It is very interesting to look at and consider the life of Demas as we think about these things. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10 is not the only listing that we see, not the only verse we see Demas mentioned. Look at Colossians chapter 4, if you would turn to Colossians chapter 4. And we can tell by these two verses, Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 14, and then there is in Philemon another verse. Colossians 4, 14, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Evidently at that time, Demas was traveling with Luke and with Paul at that time. And we also see in the book of Philemon, right before the book of Hebrews, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and chapter 1, there's only one chapter, so chapter 1, verse 24. The Bible says here, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. So what we see here, okay, Paul, when he mentions Demas, always mentions him as being as a companion along with Luke. Luke and Demas together. And so Demas was indeed a traveling companion with Paul and with Luke. And what does it mean? Okay, what does it mean? Well, it means that Demas was with Paul through many of his different trials in Turn with me to 2 Corinthians, excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And look at what we read in verse 24, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. In a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Paul's describing his life in the ministry, and there is good reason to think that Demas was right alongside of him for much of what he endured, traveling with Lucas Paul. Demas was there. I'm not saying he was there for all of the things that were listed, but he was there through much of this. And through it all, through all of these things, Demas continued serving God. Through all of those things. But let's consider the fact this afternoon that what tribulation and persecution could not do, the world did. Demas undoubtedly endured persecution and tribulation with Luke and Paul and kept going, but it was the world that wooed him away. We don't know the exact temptations that led Demas astray, but the Bible clearly stated that Demas forsook Paul, having loved this present world. He went AWOL. Those of you, we probably all know what that means. Those of you that were military understand what that means, certainly. Absent without leave. An unauthorized absence. He deserted his post on the front lines. Hey, remember, we're at war. This is a spiritual war. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went on before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Warfare is all throughout the Bible. I like the peace parts of the Bible. I do too, you know. I don't like being at war, but we are at war, and that's the way it is. What was it that led Demas astray? Well, we're going to look at some possibilities here. We know it was the world, but what about the world? Let us consider this afternoon, and why would we talk about this when we're talking about an anniversary? Because you know what? The rapture could be today. It could be this hour. Well, I may not finish preaching, and some of you say, amen, I wish you'd come right now. But listen, it may be that it's still another generation or two. What is the next generation going to say about the Bryan Pond Baptist Church? What is the generation that follows going to say about us? Will this church even still exist? If we have enough Demases, this church will cease to exist. We need to be careful. And that means also if we start straying from doctrinal purity in this King James Bible, we will cease to exist as a Bible-believing church in God's eyes as well. But let us consider this thing. What is it that may have wooed Demas away? Well, first of all, let's consider the fact that friends and family can lead you astray. Friends and family. Perhaps Demas had some friends who were looking out for him and attempting to talk to him about what he was doing, traveling with Paul and Luke. Hey, what, Demas, why are you doing this? I'm concerned about you. You don't even know if you're going to have a meal tomorrow. Well, you know, we've always been fed. God said he'd feed us. Yeah, but what about the danger you face? This guy Paul, he's a troublemaker, you know. Have you gotten to know this? Have you seen? Well, yeah, I guess we've been kind of in some hot situations, but God got us through. But are you? When is he going to fail you? When is he going to? Well, I don't know. He hasn't yet. But you know. But can you imagine a friend that looking out for you, a family member giving you some advice and saying, "Hey, you know, I'm concerned about you. You know, you don't have to do that to be saved." Yeah, you ever heard that before? You don't have to go to church all the time to be saved. No one ever said that. I mean, no one ever said that. Okay? Okay, maybe some work salvationist people said that. You gotta stay faithful, you gotta hang on to the end. They don't understand, they couldn't rightly divide their way out of a paper bag. They don't know what they're talking about. Okay? When a person's saved, they're saved forever. But you don't have to go to church to be saved, right? But do you want to grow? Do you want to learn? How about this? Do you want your experience at the judgment seat of Christ to be a good experience or a bad experience? You don't have to go. You don't have to do all that. Look at what this guy Paul has led you through. He's a good man, but do you really need to do that? Well, you know, it does kind of stink getting thrown in prison. You know, I didn't really like it. Wasn't a lot of food there. You know, there was food, but it was just enough to survive. And yeah, maybe you're right. Yeah, any, you know, well-meaning people looking out for you. Sometimes friends and family will turn your eyes away from the Lord. You show me a person's close companions, and I'll show you who that person will be in a short time.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. That's the way it is. And we'd like it not to be the case. Well, it's my desire. I'd like to see every Christian parent with young children homeschooled. Well, my child, the kids, they're going to school to be a light, and they may go there as the eagle of the Lord, but they're going to be clucking like the turkeys there pretty soon. You call all public school kids turkeys? No. But you know what? Our children are more precious than that. You know, we need to guard them, spiritually speaking. But what about us? That when they grow up, you know the thing about that? When they grow up, they start making their own decisions. And as parents, it drives you nuts because can I choose for you? That's not why, but you gotta hang back. If you're hovering around them, guess what's gonna happen? The little grannies are gonna come. They're gonna be like, thanks, Mom, Dad. We don't need you to visit me now. We'll call you when we're ready. Because they don't want helicopter parenting and these kind of things. Mom, the children leave the coop, and guess what? They start making their own decisions. We'd like to make every decision for them. You know, every teenager that's come through here, and there's been a lot, and I sometimes going to work, I'll be praying for them, or just tears trickling down the cheek, thinking, I wish I could make this, and then they post about it on social media, this and that, and I wish I could be there and say, no, don't do that, please don't go that way, please don't do that, you can't do it. What happens? Well, a lot of times you end up with a circle of friends that don't really believe quite like you believe. And they end up leading you down a wrong path. Well, I'm trying to change them. Okay, we've talked about this before. You know, the clean dog and the muddy dog, you put them in a cage together, and that muddy dog's going to be just as muddy, but the clean dog, instead of making the muddy dog cleaner, the clean dog's going to be muddier. That's what happens. You know, it's the way the life. I don't like that. I don't like it either. But the truth is, our companions will tell us a lot about who we will become, and we got to be wary of that. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. The Bible is full. The Bible is full of passages that deal with our friends, our family, those who we surround ourselves with. And there's much advice here, probably starting in Proverbs chapter 1. Look at verse number 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as a grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our house with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. We see here a father giving advice to the son, saying, don't walk with those people. Hey, as Brother Ralph quoted this morning, Amos chapter 3, verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Look, if you companion with people who don't have your true best interest, and by the way, your best interest isn't what mama thinks it is, or daddy thinks it is, it's what the Lord thinks it is, and nobody else. If they don't have the Lord's interest for you, then you're going to run into trouble. Mm-hmm. You're going to end up in trouble. Who are you surrounding yourselves with? Look at Proverbs chapter 2, verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go into unto her return, neither take they hold of the paths of life. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth and from the transgressor, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Notice two particular people that the Bible is talking here about here, who we should avoid, who aren't on the paths of uprightness. There's the froward man. By the way, that word is froward, not forward. There is a difference. It is a difference, and it's an important difference. That word froward means perverse, turning from with aversion or reluctance, not willing to yield or comply with what is required, ungovernable. That's a froward man. You don't want to be company with a froward man. And that's different than forwardness. Again, every jot and every tittle perfectly preserved in this King James Bible. The word is froward, and that's a person we ought to avoid, the froward person. We ought to avoid the strange woman. And again, not just somebody who's really weird. Oh, she wears weird clothes and she's kind of weird. No, strange, she's not your wife. We ought to just stay away. We ought to just stay away. She's trying to woo you into something that you're going to regret for the rest of your life. You may have a few minutes of pleasure, but then the rest of your life, you're going to be thinking about that. And it's trouble. It's trouble. The Bible tells us who we should, look in verse 20 here, Proverbs 2, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. Those people who we surround ourselves will tell a lot about who we're going to become. Remember what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That word reprove means to blame, as in to reprove someone for laziness. You know, don't be lazy. The Bible has a lot to say about laziness. We ought to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I know you knew I was going here, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll get there. Amen. Friends and family can lead you astray. Notice what it says here, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and verse number 14. Oh, I know, Pastor. Come out from among them. Yep, that's where we're going, because God said it, and that settles it. Be not, look at verse 14, 2 Corinthians 6. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So, just who are you calling your friends? What kind of people are you? Let's ask this question. Are you closer to Christ when you spend time with them or further away? That would be a good indicator right there. And you say, well, that's, No, listen, no matter what your personal feelings are, the most important thing in your life, I don't care who you are, is your fellowship with Jesus Christ. I cannot be the husband I need to be if I'm out of fellowship with you. My wife cannot be the wife she needs to be if she's out of fellowship with me. I can't be the pastor I need to be. I can't be the son, the dad, the grandpa I need to be, the pappy I need to be. If I'm not in fellowship with Jesus Christ, if my fellowship is bad, and you cannot be the person you need to be if your fellowship is wrong. It's the Lord or me. You've got to make a decision. Guess what? It's the Lord. It's the Lord. Why? Well, the Bible says in Luke 14:26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. You know what? When you're following Christ, there may even come times when nobody else truly understands what God is leading you into. And you know what? It better be Christ. Our fellowship with Christ is the most important thing in our life. And when I pray for all of you individually. And I pray, you know what I pray for? Your fellowship with Jesus Christ. And I hope you pray for mine with him, because I need it too. I love you all. And one day we're going to stand before the judgment seat. Now, we're not going to be judged whether we're saved or lost. If you're saved, you're saved. But one day we're all going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. Whether we receive rewards or suffer loss, that has everything to do with that question. How is your fellowship with Jesus Christ? How is your fellowship? So friends and family, was it friends and family that wooed Demas off the path? We're not sure, but certainly friends and family can lead you astray. Secondly, what else? Our former life can lead us astray. Our former life. You ever catch yourself pining for the way things used to be? And I know, well, and through this pandemic, I pine for the days when you could, you could look at people and know who they are. Yeah, I'm sure. But, right? I mean, I pine for the days when people felt safe going outside, even though really, in some places, it's never safe to go outside ever, no matter when it is. But I mean our former life, those things that came before we were serving God, and do we ever... Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and which would be page 700 exactly in your old Schofield. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Notice, look what it says in verse number 10, Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Say not thou, what is the cause of the former day, that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Well, I miss the way things used to be. And you know, there's things about yesteryear that I say yesteryear like it's 200 years ago. But there's things that if we could have you a little different now, whatever. But we got to understand this. We're at war. We are at war. Spiritual warfare is always tough. Sometimes we begin to yearn for the more peaceful days in our life. I remember when things weren't so turbulent. But if you go back and really examine how you were back then, you'll probably find that you weren't nearly as close to the Lord as you are now. I miss the peaceful days of the past. We don't do wisely when we remember those things in the past. Peaceful bonds are still bonds. Peaceful bondage is still bondage. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Yes, we're going to be all over the place this afternoon. I forgot to tell you that. Hope it's all right. Now, I know you got to... You've got to keep moving, at least moving your hands, or you're going to fall asleep after all that food you ate. Look at Romans chapter 6. Look at verse number 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Listen, we've been freed from the bondage of sin. Why same bondage that we've been freed from. We, our former life, I understand our flesh loves things that it shouldn't be involved with. If our flesh loves it, there's a good likelihood that we should not be involved in it, or we need to, it is, as Brother Ralph was talking about David this morning, you know, I can almost hear people who have a little bit of trouble, staying faithful to their spouse or staying faithful to not have relations outside of marriage or before marriage. These kind of, well, God gave me these desires. Okay, God created you. You better learn to put a chain on that thing right away. You better learn. Hey, we've got appetites. I've got appetite. You know, I saw my physical, my fleshly appetite when I saw that list, that line of food. I wanted to eat all of it. I mean, all of it. But I better put a chain on that thing, or I'll not only gain the weight that I've lost, you'll be rolling me out this door. You'll have to cut them. We need a bigger door. We want to hear preacher preach. I'll be. I don't know if any of you have seen old Billy Kelly. The old vet, he got to the point. He was just so big. I mean, great preacher, great man. We'll meet him in heaven. Great singer. But man, he got awful big. He had to sit down and preach because his knees couldn't hold him up. Well, he had some problems. Yeah, well, it was kind of probably related to that. I'd be worse than Billy Kelly, you know. And maybe I shouldn't talk about him. He was a good man. He was a good man. I feel bad now. Oh, my. Sorry, Lord. Sorry. I'll tell Billy Kelly sorry in heaven. Thankfully, he'll be have his perfect body and he'll forgive me. You know, he'll be like, well, look at me now. Amen. But we better learn to put a chain on that appetite, whether it's sexual, whether it's for food, whatever that is. Yeah, God gave us fleshly appetites, but guess what? God gave us also guardrails. Yeah, we got to stay within those guardrails, you know. Why would we want to return to bondage? Why? Just like Israel, we looked at Numbers chapter, we don't need to turn back there, we looked at Numbers chapter 11 for a few minutes on Wednesday night. What was it? They were delivered. Hey, the children of Israel were delivered from severe bondage. But they were just kind of cranky. Oh, all we got is this manna. Well, wait a minute. What do you have to do for this manna? Do you have to go mix it up? Well, no. Well, you have to put it in the oven and bake it? Well, no, not exactly. Well, what do you have to do? Well, you just really have to go out and pick it up. And it's falling from the sky. Well, but we want flesh. And you know what happened? They started pining back for the days of yore. Oh, we remember in Egypt the garlics and the leek and the fishes and all this kind of thing. Like it was some kind of a super buffet party or something, you know, back in Egypt. They failed to mention, hey, you know what? When you are yearning for the days gone by, when you are yearning for that life you used to have, those peaceful days, you only forget, you only remember the good things. You don't remember all the heartbreak and the trouble and trials that you had back then. Seriously. You know, and it happens. I have to be careful myself. I hear, for me, everybody has a trigger. Everybody has triggers that trigger them. Their mind starts going back to days gone by. It's music for me. And I got to be careful because pretty soon, guess what? You're going to a store, you're shopping, and you hear something playing on the radio, and you start tapping your foot a little bit. You remember, and you start thinking back, and pretty soon you're reveling in the sin that you used to commit, and you don't even realize until the Holy Spirit goes, hey, buddy, you better check yourself. Seriously. And you know, well, I don't listen to any of that newfangled stuff. I don't even listen to that country western stuff. What do you listen to? I listen to the oldies. Okay, well, what do those make you think of? Uh-oh. Pastor, get out of my backyard now. We got to consider these things. Because when our mind goes south and we allow our mind to go back to that, guess what? Our flesh will follow our heart and our mind if we let it. If we let it. That old man, remember, we have an old man, okay? And that's nothing irreverent or anything like that. It's our old flesh. Our old flesh wants the way things used to be. Our old flesh wants things it shouldn't have. That's why Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:31, he said, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. talked about that last Sunday afternoon. I'm not going to re-preach that message along with this one, but listen, we have to learn to die to self daily, because our flesh is going to want to take us here, it's going to want to take us there. Do you really like being different? Do you like people making fun of you behind your back? What happens? Well, we end up giving in and giving up and blending in. Do we become unsaved? No. But we give up every time we do that, every time we get off the path. You know, hey, we can earn rewards or we can suffer loss at the judgment seat of Christ. You know, we shouldn't labor so we can get rewards. Paul says, run that ye may obtain. I mean, come on, you know? We don't want to end up giving in and blending in. Let me ask you a question. This is going to hit close to home. Nobody raised your hands or anything. Are you conformed to Christ? Do you consider yourself conformed to Christ? If so, why doesn't the world hate you like it hated him? Can you imagine Jesus asking his disciples the same question? Are you conformed to me? Well, sure, Lord, sure, we're conformed. Really? Well, how come they want to kill me and they don't have that problem with you? Until the very end. And what ended up happening? They ended up scattering. That's what happened. See, Demas let the world draw him away. Was it his friends and family? We don't know. Was it his former life that drew him away? Was he thinking back, did somebody remind him, maybe one of those friends and family working in conjunction with his former life, said, hey, remember when things weren't so rowdy and you had a place to sleep every night, you knew where you were going to bed, you knew you had mom to cook you some meals, things were good, you had a job, you had your 9-to-5, you know, working at the mill or whatever it is. Do you remember those days? Well, yeah, I do. Those were some good days. Yeah, they were. Man, in your mind, you may be busy involved in the work of the ministry. You may be busy serving God, but your mind is straying and straying. And the more we let that happen, the more likely we are to become a Demas. We don't know what it was that drew him away, but we knew that the world was just so appealing to him that he left what God had called him to be doing. And the same thing can happen to any one of us. Any one of us. Friends and family can lead you astray. Your former life can lead you astray. One more thing we're going to consider here. Failure can lead you astray. Maybe Demas had fallen short on one of the mission trips. Maybe he struggled with something that he had never struggled with before in some major way. Wait, you mean like Peter did? Yeah, what happened to Peter? Denied the Lord? You know, sometimes we fail. Your pastor's a failure. Okay, maybe I'm being kind of funny a little bit. I've failed many things. I've failed in many things. I'm not going to start listing them, okay? The sin that I've failed at, that's under the blood. No business of yours. But sometimes listen, we're all saved sinners. What we are. Turn to me, Romans chapter 7. We're almost there. We're in Romans 6. Look at Romans chapter 7. We've read a couple of verses this morning. We're going to read a few more this afternoon. Look at verse number 14 of Romans chapter 7. The Bible says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I do, which I would not, that I do." Okay? Paul is talking about the struggle of the flesh. Paul lived with his flesh every single day. Paul said, "I die daily," but guess what? Paul still struggled. Paul still failed sometimes. And honestly, if you read the book of Acts, Paul did at one point end up in a little bit of trouble because he had multiple, God tried to tell him multiple times, don't go to Jerusalem, don't go to Jerusalem. He went, and what happened? He got thrown in prison again. Even Paul struggles. Sometimes we fail. That's life. You don't give up, though. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Tell us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Every single saved person battles their flesh every day. Every one of us. Don't think you're immune from it. You are not. You say, wait a minute, though, because there's a catch. There is a way to stop battling with your flesh. What is it? What is it, Pastor? Give up. Oh, yeah, okay. If you just start giving into the flesh all the time, guess what? There's no battle with the flesh, but guess what the Holy Spirit is doing? He's knocking you. You know, that's what's going on. He's knocking you upside the head. And you won't have that peace. If you care about the way in which you live, if you want to please the Lord and be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ, you need to fight the fight. You need to battle the battle. You need to scratch and claw and do whatever you need to do to say no to sin. And you know what? We would have a lot less frustration if we would just simply remember who we are and who we belong to and say, Lord, I can't, but I know you can, and just trust him and walk forward. We would do much better. Demas didn't do that. Something wooed him away. Was it failure? I don't know. Failure is a part of life. You know who the only people are in life that never fail? People that never do anything. I never struck out in baseball. How many times did you go to bat? None. I never missed a free throw. How many in basketball? How many shots did you take? Well, none. My three-point percentage is perfect. 0 for 0. You know what? You try things, you're going to fail.
That's right.
I used to have some, when I worked at Walmart, I had a few people that worked for me. Man, they were just scared to try anything. And I'm like, will you get over it? What's the worst thing that's going to happen if I don't like what you did? I'll say, okay, well, good try, but do it again. Let's do it a little different. But what if I really liked it? What if it's something brand new and a better way to do something? Maybe it's something I've never thought of. You know what? You got to take a chance sometimes. You got to do. Hey, if God's leading you in something, you say, "I don't know really how to do that." But God leads you to do it. Guess what? You might fail. You might fall flat on your face, but you can get up. He'll help you up. He'll lead you in the right path, and you can walk forward. Failure does not have to mean that we're done with. I fell into that sin again. Okay. If you mess up, fess up and get going again. Remember 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And remember, 1 John chapter 1 has nothing to do with salvation. It's all to do with fellowship with Jesus Christ. When we fail, I've had a guy tell me, you know, that got into some sin. Don't worry, Pastor. I'll never come to church again. What are you talking about? That's where you need to be. What do you mean I'll never go to church? That's opposite thinking, you know? And by the way, if you say, then that means if I'm good enough, I don't have to come to church. Okay, your pride means you have to come to church. Amen. You fail. And your pride. But guess what? Even for the failure of pride, which we all fail there some days, hey, we can still get back up and God can get us back on the path. Failure does not have to put us out away for good. Failure is a part of life. Failure is a good teacher if we allow the failure to help us. However, if we fall off the bike and say, I'm never riding a bike again, guess what? We really have failed, and we failed for good till we get back to that bike and get on it again. The devil wants you to fail and never get back again. And that's why your flesh, guess what? When you fail, the devil's going to be right there whispering in your ear. Everybody at church knows. And you know what? In a small town, everybody might know. Okay? Probably will know. You know, some people, I don't mean to gossip, but hey, did you hear this? Oh, boy, boy. And then sometimes we're smart enough and we post our failures on Facebook anyway, so people all know. Everybody in church will know. Okay, so what? You know what I can honestly say of this body here? You know what? We may know that somebody's gotten into some things they shouldn't get into. But when they walk back in that door, we'll be happy to see you. Praise the Lord. Good to see you. I'm so happy to see you. Because guess what? That's what our Heavenly Father did for us, right? And does for us every day. The devil wants you to fail and never get back up. Don't swallow the lie. You done messed up big time. He won't forgive you this time. They'll be talking about you forever. Don't swallow the lie. It's a lie. And it's from hell. And by the way, if you're one who would talk about somebody like that, you better repent. Bring it to Jesus and let him forgive you. Don't swallow the lie. Holy living is a key component of the Christian life. And the Bible clearly teaches holy living, but we all fail sometimes. There's forgiveness for that. There's restoration. There's hope. If you choose to turn around and put your eyes on Jesus again. Demas didn't do that. It doesn't mean he lost his salvation. But when he stood before the judgment seat of Christ, hey Demas, where'd you go? Are you right there with Paul? Where'd you go? Jesus knows where he went, but where'd you go? Well, I just wanted to take a break. I was just going to sojourn for, a short time. Take a break, get recharged, and get back into it. Well, Demas didn't get back into it. No, I didn't. But, things were busy at home, and I helped Mom and Dad, and I got married. And have you seen my kids? Have you met my kids? They're just wonderful kids. Demas, is that what I wanted you to do? Well, no, but isn't this not a bad thing? It's not your perfect will, but it's your permissive will. No such thing as permissive will, Demas. It's my will or it's not my will. Don't get caught up in that. And by the way, don't you get caught up in that. Well, God's allowing this to happen. God, okay, just because the judgment of God hasn't fallen, or just because the chastising hand of God isn't upon you right now, that doesn't mean he approves of what you're doing, okay? It's not really his will, but he's allowing me to. That will only last you for some time, and then that will change. And God will correct you back on. Listen, in the Bible, isn't it something? And yes, is Demas forgiven? Is he in heaven? Yes, he is. But he's recorded forever in God's word as the one that walked away. He's the one. Well, Peter, he denied the Lord three times. But guess what? Peter failed. He got out, but then guess what? He got back in. If you get out, maybe you're a Demas right now. You don't have to continue to be a Demas. You can get back in. Peter got out. Peter got back in. Demas, we have no record that he got back in to the will of God. Yes, your friends and family can lead you astray. Your former life can lead you astray. Your failures can lead you astray. And all of these can be summed up in this way. Pastor, I wish you summed it up earlier. Okay, your flesh will lead you astray. Your flesh. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and keep them on him. A good soldier's ear is always attuned to the voice of his superior officer. He's listening for the next command. He's doing what he knows is right and following his training while waiting for the next instructions. Hey, we have the voice of God right here. Our commander's voice is right here. We need to open it, read it, live it, love it, learn it, do it all. We need to get in and get deep. Generations from now, what will be the testimony of the Bryant Pond Baptist Church? Right now, our testimony is that we have some good old faithful soldiers It drives me crazy when I people have the idea that old people need to get out of the way and let the young people. All this, you know what? I love all of you. You know, it says something to me. It speaks to me that though there's many people in here who have much higher risks of COVID hitting them harder than others, you're the ones that are still here. That speaks to me. I value all of you. And it speaks to me. And it tells me, you know what, I appreciate you a lot. Maybe you're not able to do the things you used to do, but guess what? The fact that you're here is an encouragement to me. It helps me. It helps me. You may not be able to physically do what you once could do, but by just being here, you're saying this, Private Jones reporting to you. Let's be faithful. Let's continue to be faithful. Let's purpose in our hearts to be faithful. If the rapture doesn't happen by then, let our testimony be this. Well, those faith, they're crazy, but they're, you know, every time I drive by on Sunday morning, I see cars out there. And Sunday afternoon, they're still there. I don't know what they're doing. And even Wednesday night, what in the world are they doing on Wednesday night? There's still cars out there. Every once in a while, there's some people from people being crazy and holding signs and doing silly stuff like that. And, you know, yeah. Let's just keep doing it. When do we stop? When Jesus comes.
Right.
They can have our gospel signs by then. Let's just keep doing it till Jesus comes. What? Don't be a Demas. You may not be able to do much, but you know, I'm reminded in Mark chapter, the chapter we read this morning in Mark 14, of Mary and her alabaster box of ointment. You know what Jesus said about her? She hath done what she could. Isn't that what the Lord wants? Be faithful. Let's continue to be faithful. Don't be Demas. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, encourage us to continue to fight the good fight, to battle the good battle, and to stand firm for you, Father. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.